Hello, listeners. Welcome back to the Kurdistan America podcast. I'm your host, Dulovan Barwari. Today, we have a seasoned guest, Miles B. Kagans. He's a retired U.S. Army colonel, now serving as the spokesperson for the Association of the Petroleum Industry of Kurdistan, known as APIKUR. Miles' journey, from a U.S. Army colonel to a vital voice in Kurdistan's oil discourse, is truly noteworthy. Our discussion navigates the significant halt in Kurdistan's oil exports through the Iraq-Turkey pipeline following an International Chamber of Commerce ruling earlier this year. Miles shares its adverse impacts on the Kurdistan region's economy and the international oil firms in Kurdistan, and speaks about the broader geopolitical ripples. We further delve into the needed steps for mitigating these challenges, highlighting Washington's potential role in fostering a conducive resolution. As the spokesperson for APIKUR, Miles extends a message of strategic resilience to the people of Kurdistan, illuminating hope during such economic challenges. Join us as Miles shares practical steps to help Kurdistan's oil sector find stability in a challenging global setting. And now, the interview with Miles Kagans. Colonel Miles Kagans, welcome to the Kurdistan America podcast. Welcome back to the Kurdistan America podcast.
Choni Delavan.
Bashi, Miles, Kherati.
It's good to be back with you on the podcast. The last time we did this was late 2020. I was very much fresh from my deployment to Iraq and Kurdistan region. In Texas, I was speaking to you.
That's right. You were getting ready to go to Council of Foreign Relations.
That's right. I later moved up to New York, where I'm talking to you from today. And now I have retired from the Army. And thank you for attending my retirement ceremony. And so many Kurdish friends were able to make it to that ceremony last year. And I've started my company, Words Warriors. At Words Warriors, we're providing specialized language and translation service, public relations advising, coaching, and business development. We're building bridges between American and Kurdish companies. I've got my company, Words Warriors, registered in the United States, but also I have opened a branch in Erbil. I've registered with the KRG and have an office in New Azadi City.
That's amazing. Congratulations. I think our office helped you in the process.
Absolutely.
Processing the documents.
I'm so thankful to your colleagues, in particular, your colleague Banu, who's in the DC office, who helped me get the paperwork processed, and the fine gentlemen who are in the company's registration office in Erbil. Balind and his team have been so helpful, and I had assistance on the ground all the way through the Department of Foreign Relations, the Ministry of Justice, and Kak Rabin, who gave me the final stamp of approval and a certificate so I can do business legitimately in Kurdistan region.
Very well. You're welcome. Good luck on that new mission.
Thanks. Now, one of our very first clients is representing the Association of the Petroleum Industry in Kurdistan region, APIKUR, and be happy
so
to
that's
talk to you about
that. That's what we're talking about today. You're now the spokesperson for the Association of the Petroleum of Kurdistan, Association of the Petroleum Industry of Kurdistan, I believe, APIKUR. Please tell us about that. What is this organization? What's its mission? What does it do?
That's right. It's my honor to represent these international oil companies. Right now, we have five companies from the United States and Canada and UK and Norway. And these companies are part of a group of companies that have been producing more than 400,000 barrels of oil per day and pumping billions of dollars into all of Iraq. And we have tens of thousands on staff and a really strong economic impact and close relationship with the Kurdistan region. And earlier this year in 2023, companies that had been meeting informally decided to come together to speak with a unified voice to address members' concerns on behalf of their employees, their stakeholders, and for the purpose of ensuring that the oil production in Kurdistan region is as strong as it can possibly be.
Now, tell me about the oil industry in Kurdistan. The audience would probably want to know, have some background info. Can you tell us about it, how it started? How long have the international oil companies been present and operating in the Kurdistan region?
Well, historically, there have been evidence of oil in Iraq and Kurdistan region for hundreds of years. And then as the with the turn of the last century, there was additional exploration and by explorers from Europe and other places who thought there could be potentially an oil industry. But the modern oil industry in Kurdistan started about 15 years ago, sometime after 2003. And from that time, there have been international oil companies who started the process with exploration and now production of oil in Kurdistan region. That oil is producing, these companies are producing upwards of 400,000 barrels of oil per day from Kurdistan region. And there's even more potential as the companies continue to mature and develop their operations.
Okay, great. Now, KRG's oil exports basically stopped back in March, on March 25th of this year, because of the International Chamber of Commerce ruling, Paris-based ICC court. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, there are a couple of, as we're talking now in late September 2023, there are a couple of problems with the production of oil. And one of them is related to the Iraq-Turkey pipeline. There was this international arbitration, and the ruling was that Turkey owes some $1.5 billion to Iraq because they violated an agreement from a few decades prior. There has been continued discussion between Baghdad and Ankara with high-level visits from each nation to try to come to a resolution related to the Iraq-Turkey pipeline. There's another issue, though, that is facing the APIKUR members, the international oil companies that are members of APIKUR, have currently reduced and almost eliminated all of their production because there is not a proper agreement and there is money owed to the companies. These companies, the members of APIKUR, have not received any payment for the oil that was produced between October of 2022 and March of 2023.
So let's go back a little bit. There was an agreement following the ruling. The KRG Prime Minister, Masroor Barzani, visited Baghdad and met with the Iraqi Prime Minister, Sudani, and they had an agreement, which was basically a concession on both sides, where SOMO, the oil company, that state-owned oil company that oversees the sales of oil, would also oversee or will have some control or monitoring of the oil sales. What's the status? And there was plans that the oil sales will resume through the Iraq pipeline to Turkey. What is the issue there now?
Each company, each international oil company and the separate member companies from APIKUR have what is called a production sharing contract, a PSC. And these PSCs delineate the process and the payments and the percentages for oil production in Kurdistan region. There's these contracts, these agreements between the companies and KRG are legally binding in accordance with the London Court of International Arbitration is a place where these disputes will be resolved. However, there's some disagreement from Baghdad about the status of these production sharing contracts between the companies and the Kurdistan region government. That issue is also compounded by ongoing budget disputes between Baghdad and Erbil that have recently been resolved, where there will be a transfer of money for the payment of KRG salaries. But APICUR members are still unsure of how they will receive payments going forward. And I previously mentioned that there's still back payments owed for the production period between October 2022 and March of this year. This issue has caused multiple problems. In fact, it's hurting all people in Iraq, from Zaqo to Basra. Look, since March, and it's now it's September, there has been about $4 billion in lost revenue for the KRG and, of course, Iraq. Right. So the companies have had to make some decisions in order to continue to plan to resume operations, but they've had to make tough decisions, including furloughing personnel. There are tens of thousands of Iraqi citizens in Kurdistan who have been furloughed from their jobs. And this is more than just those men and women who are working on the wells and well oil engineers. It's also the transportation companies, the logistics companies, the general services and security companies who've all had to scale back their employment while these disputes are being resolved between Baghdad, Erbil, and the companies.
Okay, so now this obviously has great impact on the economy of the Kurdistan region, because approximately 70 to 80% of the economy, the revenues come from oil. Now, how is it affecting the oil companies that are members of APICUR and others as well?
The leaders of the APICUR companies have had to make some tough decisions related to personnel. And we've also, separate members have had to scale back some of the philanthropic, what we call corporate social responsibility efforts that they have in Kurdistan region. And right now there's a bit of uncertainty, but all of the companies share the goal of wanting to resume production as soon as possible. And each company is talking to, of course, their own nation's political and diplomatic leaders, and those leaders are having ongoing discussions with Erbil and Baghdad. Let me give you an example of this. This week in New York City is the UN General Assembly. And on the margins of the United Nations General Assembly, there was a meeting between Iraqi Prime Minister Mohammed Shia al-Sudani and the White House Deputy Assistant to the President and Coordinator for the Middle East, Mr. Brett McGurk, who your audience knows well. Prime Minister al-Sudani also met with the Senior Advisor to the President for Energy and Investments, Mr. Amos Hochstein. And they met with him to discuss issues related to energy production, oil and gas in Iraq. And specifically, they raised the issue of getting the Iraq-Turkey pipeline reopened as soon as possible. The United States is focused intently on this issue, but ultimately, we recognize that there will be decisions made by Baghdad, Erbil and Ankara, the three capitals involved, and only in the most the worst case would the companies want to go to London to the International Courts of Arbitration for a final ruling to get the proper payments that are owed and resume production.
Do you think that Washington's doing enough to resolve this issue? And does Washington have any leverage to resolve it?
Well, certainly. Washington, of course, has shown the strong commitment to the entire nation of Iraq. Just this week at the UN General Assembly, the Iraqi Prime Minister was invited to the White House for an official visit. That invitation was extended by the Secretary of State, Tony Blinken. This is an invitation that does not go to all nations, and it's a sign of America's strong commitment to Iraq and the Iraqi people. Of course, we have seen in recent days the newly appointed Consulate General from the United States, Mr. Mark Stroh, having high-level meetings with the Prime Minister of Kurdistan region, as well as leaders of the major political parties and minister-level meetings. The U.S. Ambassador has also had her rounds of meetings recently, and each has conveyed a strong public message of America's commitment to KRG and also the people in the region. And this commitment is more than just military support in the fight against ISIS. This is the commitment and partnership between America and Iraq is turning more and more toward the economic, cultural, and educational ties.
So do you believe that this approach is going to resolve the problem, the issue, this conflict between three players here, stakeholders, the KRG, Baghdad, and Turkey, as well as the oil company, international oil companies? Because just yesterday, there was a letter sent, three members of U.S. Congress sent a letter to President Biden on September 20th, that was yesterday, and they stated that KRG is a reliable partner and the White House should adopt a new approach to facilitate opening the pipeline.
I think that your listeners can assess the relationship and the importance of the Kurdistan region to the United States by the public statements it makes. America has an option to make statements that are only between Washington and Baghdad. But in the past 10 days, the United States has issued statements from the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan. And in his public statement, he applauds the KRG and government of Iraq for resolving the budget issue, but also encourages Baghdad and Turkey to resolve and reopen the pipeline. This is a specific Kurdistan-related issue. So it's evident that just in the past week of activity, you've had high-level meetings, high-level delegations. And on the business side, we even had a delegation of agriculture producers that was coordinated through the U.S.-Iraq Business Council, who had a multi-day tour of the Kurdistan region in the preceding month. And it's my expectation that leaders in Washington will continue to pump money into the Kurdistan region, will continue to build this consulate that's coming up in Erbil, which will be America's largest consulate anywhere in the world, and will continue to have partnership in the fight against ISIS and other regional security issues.
So one of the stakeholders and a key player here is Turkey. What is the U.S. doing to alleviate this problem with Turkey as well? Because it's not just the issue, the conflict between Baghdad and KRG. Turkey has to also allow the sales of oil through Turkey, through the Iraq-Turkey pipeline.
You're right. And look, America is pressing hard to get the pipeline reopened, and it's a multi-pronged issue. And Turkey is indicating that they're moving to open it. The large oil companies, Botas and Tech, have all been in Erbil in recent days with SOMO for important talks about reopening the pipeline. Now, the international oil companies, some APIKUR members, will be producing the oil to go through the pipeline. So again, there's two big issues at play. One is the reopening of the pipeline, which America is encouraging between Turkey and Iraq, and of course, Kurdistan region included in that. But then there's a second issue of how are the companies going to get paid? Ultimately, the production sharing contracts are designed to give an opportunity for foreign investors. And these foreign oil companies, the international oil companies, have pumped billions of dollars into exploring and investing in the infrastructure to produce oil. And there's an agreement where, generally speaking, the Kurdistan region government gets 10% off the top. So boom, 10% of the production goes immediately to KRG. The companies are allowed to retain some amount, about 40% of the revenue to maintain their operations. And then another split of the balance of that goes usually about 80% to Kurdistan Region Government. So the cessation of production is impacting the international oil companies. It's impacting the revenue source for the Kurdistan Region Government, and it is impacting the bottom line of revenue coming into all of Iraq. Oh, by the way, there's a human cost to this. Right now, we have tens of thousands of oil industry workers who are laid off. They're sitting at home, wanting, ready, and willing to get to work, but this has a toll. If the family is not bringing in money, they have to take on additional odd jobs. Perhaps they have to borrow money, and there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of stress. The international oil companies, APICUR members, are really wanting to get their workforce back on the job, keep all of their machines well maintained and running, and producing the nearly 400,000 barrels per day that adds billions into the Iraqi economy every year.
Okay, Miles, given the current situation, what is your outlook for the future of oil exports from the Kurdistan region? Is this going to resolve? Do you see that this industry is going to thrive again?
Certainly, APICUR companies, the international oil companies, understand that exploring for oil is a high-risk, high-reward business. And the investments that are made are designed to be long-term investments. And that's where the respective companies are focused now. But let's be very clear. The oil and gas industry is at least 80% of the economy, and other industries are watching. We know that in Kurdistan region, the Prime Minister Barzani and Dr. Mohammed Shukri from the Ministry of Investments have launched a major campaign to attract international investments. Well, the investors for tourism and transportation and infrastructure, they're watching closely at what's happening with the security situation and what's happening with the international oil companies. Security is something that maybe can't be controlled, but how the international oil companies are treated and their ability to generate profit helps to influence the other sectors. And we know by the delegations that have come from European, Asian, and North American nations into Kurdistan region that there are big companies that want to be there. And there are certainly many examples of success. One of them is the Lay's Potato Chip Corporation. Lay's makes very popular potato chips, and in Sulaymaniyah, they have a potato chip production factory with locally grown potatoes. This is an American company that brought their special potatoes to Kurdistan region for the growth to make chips. Those chips are sold all throughout the region, which means that Iraqi and Kurdish businesses can be self-sustaining and reducing the number of imports from neighboring countries. And we've seen now that Kurdistan region has been a net exporter with potatoes and tomatoes and other crops. We in APICUR feel that the international oil companies are key to all of this because the salaries that are paid, the higher employment rates creates more markets for both Iraqi and Kurdish companies, but also international companies to invest and spend in the region.
Okay, so the current situation is hurting the local economy, KRG's economy, which is costing the Kurdistan region, the KRG, approximately $1 billion a month. This is hurting the people of Kurdistan. So what's your message to the people of Kurdistan?
The people of Kurdistan region know that oil sector and also the gas sector are essential for the economy, for the economic strength of the region. And a strong economy creates more security. When there's prosperity, when there's higher employment rates, there's more security. When you have more foreign nations that are focused on economic development and prosperity, you gain more security and more opportunity. And as I've traveled around the region in recent months this year, I've had a chance to speak with university students at American University of Kurdistan in Duhok. And those students are looking for opportunities to have great careers in technology, in the oil and gas sector, in international business. And many of them told me that they would love to stay in Kurdistan region, but they want to work with some of the big foreign companies, the Googles and the Metas and the Amazons, these huge companies. And in order for them to do that, they're going to need to live in a place where international investment, international business is possible, as well as access to education. The member companies of Apicure have supported those efforts. And I just want to give you some highlights. Okay. We have member companies from Apicure who have funded the education for Kurdish college students and graduate students at places like Harvard and Princeton, some of the greatest universities in the world. We have funded education for students at AUK and UKH and AUIS and Suran University, other schools. And we're also doing things to help people who are not even involved in the oil and gas sector. For instance, near some of our oil production blocks, the Apicure members have funded beekeeper activities and purchased greenhouses for the growing of agriculture and have built schools and bridges. And this is because the companies want to have a strong region and a strong society and are willing to make these investments and charitable contributions to continue to maintain the goodwill and attract talent for their workforce.
I greatly appreciate what Apicure has done for Kurdistan region and the oil companies. Now, Miles, we have reached the end of our interview. Would you like to add anything before we end it?
I would just like to say on a personal note, as transitioning from the U.S. Army now into the private sector, it is my continued honor, my continued joy to have friendships throughout the Kurdish diaspora, including, of course, Iraq's Kurdistan region. And I tell everyone everywhere I go about the great opportunities for business, but more importantly, I let people know about the values and the hospitality, the earnestness and strength of Kurdish people. This is not just sloganeering. This is really a cause I've committed to in my personal and professional life. And we like to have continued partnerships. Here in New York City, where I live, I am a volunteer in the New York Kurdish Cultural Center, and we're having our film festival in October. And we're fortunate to be able to bring in a Kurdish film director from Sulaymaniye, and we will have other film directors from the Kurdish diaspora flying in for Europe. And this film festival here in New York City is a chance for the Kurdish community to showcase its culture through cinema. There will also be dance and food and authors participating too. And the more that these type of exchanges and interactions happen, the better the world will come to understand the distinctness of Kurdish culture and community and language and arts and the beauty and richness of Kurdish history.
Very well said. Agree 100%. Thank you so much for your time, Miles. Appreciate it.
Serchava.
Kherati. Serchava. Thank you for listening to the Kurdistan in America podcast, the official podcast of the Kurdistan Regional Government Representation in Washington, D.C. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast either on Buzzsprout, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google. Also, for more information about the Kurdistan region, please visit our website at www.us.gov.krd or follow us on Twitter at KRG_USA.